On Thursday, President Biden signed legislation making Juneteenth or June 19th a federal holiday commemorating the end of slavery in the United States. The roots of the day are in Galveston, Texas on June 19th, 1865. That's when Major General Gordon Granger announced the Emancipation Proclamation, stating that all people who had been enslaved were then free. Just hours before June 19th, with 93-year-old lifetime activist Opal Lee by his side, President Biden declared June 19th a federal holiday.
This is a day of profound, in my view, profound weight and profound power. A day in which we remember the moral stain, the terrible toll that slavery took on the country and continues to take. What I've long called America's original sin. At the same time, I also remember the extraordinary capacity to heal, and to hope, and to emerge.
Vice President Kamala Harris also signed the legislation in her capacity as Senate President.
National holidays are something important. These are days when we as a nation have decided to stop and take stock, and often to acknowledge our history.
Well, this is an important milestone in history. Having Juneteenth commemorated the same weekend as Father's Day is bringing to light a particular irony. While black men make up just over 6% of the general population in the United States, they account for well over 50% of the incarcerated population. I spoke to Pastor Kenneth Sharpton Glasgow, the founder of the Ordinary People Society, about what this means for black children and fathers in the United States today.
It's Juneteenth, Freedom Day, but my brothers and sisters are still locked up. And as Fannie Lou Hamer said, ain't nobody free until everybody's free. So how can I celebrate Freedom Day when I got brothers and sisters locked up that can't get their freedom and should not even be locked up? It's a combination of Father's Day, Juneteenth, and Freedom Day at the same time. So to those of us that suffer from white supremacy and the system that's totally against us as black men, it's a double whammy against us.
Glasgow, who struggled with an addiction, was incarcerated for nearly a decade and a half when convicted for related crimes, was away from his own children for many years.
It was very, very wearing on me because I realized I had a young black son and a young daughter growing up in being subject to a system that had gotten me because of my drug use and many, many others that was in there. Some of them shouldn't have never been there at all. And that system still plays out. Even now to the day, after 20 years doing this work, I'm still fighting this same system.
How would your life and your children's lives and your family's lives have been different if you'd had access to a rehabilitation program?
My family's life and my life would have changed drastically. If I had went to like the haven I went to these last time I was locked up for those 60 days, if I went somewhere like that to get really in touch with me and my feelings and myself, I would have been a very, very different person. My family would have been different. Those 14 years I missed in their life would have been different. The dynamics of our family relationships would have been totally different. We all would not have the scars and the trauma of me being in prison and being incarcerated. My mother wouldn't have it at 75 years old. And it would have took away the paranoia that exists and the trauma that exists even now after that. Because a lot of people don't understand the after effects are just as bad as the in effects.
It was while he was on solitary confinement in the 90s that Glasgow was inspired not only to turn his own life around, but to help other people behind bars access everything from voting rights to meals to transitional services, which led him to found the Ordinary People Society. Glasgow never takes Father's Day for granted, but is still struggling to reconcile how to support so many families who aren't able to celebrate it together.
You want to celebrate this Father's Day and being with your children, but at the same time, I'm thinking about all the fathers that are not there with their children. At the same time, I'm thinking about what can I do for those fathers that are not with their children, and what can I do for their children who are not with their fathers. So I want to ask them, and I'm going to ask them after this interview, I'm going to get online and ask them, is there any way I could like buy a gift for your child and say, this comes from your father, like I do every Christmas. And kid, is there a way that I can get with the children to say, hey, let's make cards to send to your father? So he know that even though you're not there with him, you're still with him. And then the thing about is Freedom Day and Juneteenth, and for the first time in history, it just became a national holiday, but we're still up under these same draconian laws that took away our freedom in the first place. It's really an oxymoron. So I get emotional, Sharon, because I'm trying to figure out how the hell do I feel? But I wasn't there with my father. And I would always say I'd be there for my children, and I wasn't there for my children because I was incarcerated. It's bringing up how I went through it with my son and my daughter, my oldest son and daughter, who helped me in the ministry now, when I came home. I had to learn them, they had to learn me in a different capacity, even though we had our letters, we had our visits, we had our phone calls. But we had to learn each other in a different capacity. It's bringing up how we got generations supremacy.
Glasgow says shame interferes with progress.
A lot of people are confined and by their shame, feeling like they let their people down, feeling like they disappointed their folks, feeling like they're not there physically, so they can't be involved and engaged and be there either by the phone or by visits or either by letter.
Being productive, Glasgow says, is about something much deeper than money.
Just me having a nice house, nice car, and a nice job is being productive for the system, but it's not being productive for the people of God. And it's not be reproducing yourself. Every seed reproduces its own kind. Are you reproducing yourself? You got to look at his Father's Day. It's Juneteenth. It's supposed to be freedom. It's supposed to be freedom and fathers. Fathers and freedom. Freedom and fathers. Fathers and freedom. And you're not doing nothing about it. You're not even considering the fact of everybody's not free. You're not considering the fact that the father's going through right now. How can I celebrate Juneteenth and I'm locked up? How can I celebrate Father's Day and I can't see my kid?
I caught up with Glasgow's daughter, Kenyatta, who shares her father's last name, while she was driving in a Juneteenth caravan in Birmingham, Alabama.
We're celebrating the memorial of a federal holiday from our ancestors, but we can't really celebrate it for us because we're still going through it. We still see it.
Kenyatta recalled what it was like to grow up without her dad.
My mother, she actually has not been active in my life. So I've always been a daddy's girl. I remember him leaving to go to prison when I was 7, and he came back when I was 16. So it was kind of hard because I ended up having to go stay with Linda for like 4 years.
Linda is the name of Kenyatta's biological mother.
But those were the worst 4 years of my life. And I recall, like, my daddy would send me birthday cards and, you know, letters and stuff when he was incarcerated. And she just was not with it. She would rip them up.
Kenyatta says that while she missed her dad and felt hurt by his absence when she was growing up, the two of them began rebuilding the relationship and joined forces in advocacy work as soon as he was released.
I remember him coming home right after I had my first daughter, and he kept asking me, he was like, what do you want from me? What do you want from me? And I told him, just be a daddy. And ever since then, when he came home, he changed his life and he got into advocacy work. And I remember back in 2008, when he got the lawsuit passed for people that have not been convicted of a crime under moral turpitude, they can get registered to vote. I remember going out with him, registering people to vote. It was a fun experience because I told him, drop me off in the community housing. And by the time I finished, I had registered over like 500 people that day. And, you know, like with seeing his reaction to being excited to be able to teach me the things that he has learned and to be able to conquer them and achieve them, it really, you know, brought us to a different level. you know, like when he was gone, I wasn't upset or angry with him. I was hurt because I wanted my daddy. But when he got out and he came home, he was totally different. And I just thank God that I was able to rebuild our relationship.
Now, at the age of 37, Kenyatta is back in college, on track to become a drug and alcohol counselor by the year 2023.
It's not our fault that our parents had an addiction. It's not. I want to open up a free drug clinic because, you know, with the work, my dad, you know, we have a soup kitchen. It's so many people that you meet on a daily basis that just need someone to give them some assistance. The drug treatment centers, you know, they're expensive, $4,000 to $5,000 to get in them. You have to pay half up front. People can't afford that. So I want to bring something different to Dothan.
That was Pastor Kenneth Sharpton Glasgow and his daughter, Kenyatta Glasgow, from the Ordinary People Society.